Ladies and gentlemen, sit back, relax, and buckle your seatbelts. It's time for your weekly ride-along with the Bikes on Mics. This is Drive-By.
Welcome, welcome. I am Mike J. He is Mike S. We are the Mics on Mics, and this is a Drive-By Wrestling Podcast, and third time's the charm. How the hell's it going, Mike?
Tell you, man, I was doing a whole lot better before you ruined my whole fucking opening Mott's applesauce bit by having to start this show over three fucking times.
Yeah. You know, shit happens, dude. Sorry about that.
With that said, get you some delicious Mott's applesauce. Try it in the pouches. It's handy, and might I say, it's awfully dandy. Mott's applesauce. Get it in your fucking belly.
It's not just for kids anymore, right, Mike?
Man, I don't even have kids, and I just keep this shit in my house. Like, I feel bad that you have to share your applesauce with kids. You know what you should do for the kids? Get them,
What's
like,
that?
The off-brand, because, like, fuck it. Save the Mott's for yourself.
It is a good theory.
You know, like how,
test. I like it.
Like how you're gonna buy them basic WWE figures and buy yourself elites.
Well, clearly.
I think that's just smart, man.
Although, I'm going to have to, when it does come out, buy two Fiend elites and give one to my son because a basic for that's not gonna work. He just loves Bray Wyatt the Fiend too much.
Yeah, I mean, obviously get him his own. Yeah.
Because clearly, I have the one four-year-old that's not terrified of him and loves him.
What are you going to do when you have to buy, like, three of these fucking things?
Oh, they're going to share. They're all going to share, Mike.
Yeah, just buy, like, a shit ton of them at once.
Mm-hmm. That's how it's going to be.
You're like, these go to no one in particular. Here's 15 WWE basic figures. I'd only That's run you 150 bucks. That seems like a decent gift. If I was a kid, yeah. I'd be totally okay with getting like 15 figures.
Yeah, absolutely. It just increases the roster of your fig fed, right?
Yeah. Might I say, though, don't ever buy him a basic Shawn Michaels. Because you can't do a super kick with a basic character. And I feel like that's just a shitty thing to do to a kid.
Yeah, that's actually cruel. Probably borderline child abuse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
So, are we going to talk about what the fuck happened this week, or are we just going to sit here and shoot the shit? Like we don't talk every fucking day.
Yeah, you know, we can do a little bit of both, I think.
Okay, I like that.
We're continuing this format, Mike, and I like it. And to pull the curtain back, you know, we've changed our recording style. We still can't get the current SmackDown in before this releases, so we talk a little bit of last week's SmackDown, we talk a little bit of this week's Raw, and then usually on a second day of recording, we talk NXT AEW to get this whole Wednesday Night War thing in. To pull the curtain back a bit, I did get to watch NXT this week, which you have not yet, and I will watch AEW before our next recording.
Yeah, speaking of NXT, man, hey, so from now on, when you don't want me to watch the end of it or, like, read a spoiler, just don't say anything, because as soon as you text me and you're like, avoid all spoilers, I'm like, I immediately go outside at work to where you get the best internet service and read spoilers.
God damn you. Well, I'm still hard from what I saw on NXT, but we will talk about that in the next segment. For this segment, I want to do a little bit of, like I said, reflecting on SmackDown and Raw, and I think we're going to get into a little bit of the hypocrisy of wrestling fans when we look at these two shows. And
oh, man, something new for us, huh?
Something new.
Okay.
Compare them to some of the things that we are seeing in the alternative product, if you will, Mike. So I think we'll start with SmackDown. This is, like, technically, I guess, the first SmackDown this past week under the Bruce Pritchard era. Bischoff's gone, Pritchard's in. Didn't expect to see sweeping changes right away, because, I mean, Pritchard's been there doing stuff like this for a while now, whether, I'm not going to say he was in full control and Eric was just there as a figurehead, but just saying, I didn't expect things to be night and day, you know, in one episode, and I think it was going to be a little more similar than what we're used to, which it was. I enjoyed it. I thought the SmackDown this past week was not a mind-blowing show, but a good, you know, wrestling show. Ratings dropped a little bit again, but nothing too crazy. You know, I keep hearing how the Fox execs are this and the Fox execs are that. And look, guys, listen. Just understand that the SmackDown is winning in the demo they want them to win. They're beating everything in the key demos that advertisers like. And, man, we're not going to see nights of 5, 6, 7 million people watching wrestling. We're just not going to see that anymore, guys. I don't think Fox is expecting that.
If they just go back to the Attitude Era, they would be able to draw that same TV audience.
Because these the vanilla Bobby Lashley Lana story is really drawing people in, right?
If they would treat this more like Brian Pillman and Marlena and, like, you know, just go all the way with it instead of half-assing the Attitude Era part of it, man. I'm telling you. Everybody knows it, right? That the Attitude Era fixes everything.
Everything. So, I thought this, like I said, I thought SmackDown was entertaining. I didn't think it was a knockout, lights-out show, but it was a good wrestling show. The ratings are holding steady. I think they will gain a little bit bigger audience. I also think that it's not going to be a huge difference one way or the other, positive or negative. I mean, Friday night's a hard night anyway. You know, this past week they had an Ohio State football game on, and yes, you and I are Ohio State fans, Mike, but that's also a big market for college football, wouldn't you agree? Even if you're not an Ohio State fan, even if you're not, you don't live in Columbus, like, Big Ten football in general, plus it being Ohio State, people are going to watch that.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's a big game, no matter what.
And then you add in the World Series and all that happy horse shit. Like, they still have a lot of competition on a Friday night when it comes to the quote-unquote sporting world. So, you know, I think it'll be fine. I think it'll be interesting this coming week, Mike, to see what happens when they're on Fox Sports 1. So just a reminder, if you need to set your DVR, they will be on Fox Sports 1 this week because of the World Series.
Fucking baseball.
I know. Says it's going to be the one and only time, so I don't think they foresee this happening again because of the World Series, which is nice. Might hurt them a little bit. Fox Sports 1 is a cable channel, not a broadcast channel, but I don't think that being on a broadcast channel has helped them that much in the ratings either, so I guess we'll just have to see, right?
I mean, pretty much. It's all. I mean, it's like week 3, so.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. When I said I wanted to talk a little bit of the hypocrisy or the fickleness of wrestling fans, this is kind of how I want to weave this in. So, SmackDown started with an Intercontinental Championship match between Roman Reigns and Shinsuke Nakamura. Now, as someone who's watched wrestling for 30-plus years, I think you can agree and attest to this, Mike, that I kind of thought in my mind, unless they're really going to do something big here, you know, this match is going to have some kind of non-finish and probably lead to something else, which is exactly what happened. Now, again, me as a wrestling fan who's watched this product for 30-plus years, expected it, it happened, and I was okay with it. You know, like I said, we weren't swinging for the fences on this episode of SmackDown. It was the first technically first full post-draft episode, so, you know, have at it, introduce the new exclusive rosters, I guess, and go from there. So, this set up a tag match because, you know, Baron Corbin came out and interfered, which is what caused the non-finish, the DQ, Daniel Bryan comes out to help. And again, we get Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns tagging with each other to take on Baron Corbin and Shinsuke Nakamura. And this is setting up the main event of the show. I saw so much hate for this because, according to the internet, it's the same old thing, which I'll give you that. Yeah, it is. But then I hear how this would never happen in AEW, this, that, and the other. And I had to respond to some of it and just say, wait a minute. Didn't we just get Hangman and Kenny Omega versus Moxley and Pac? I'm going to call him Pac. I hate the way they say that. Didn't we get that? And everyone was like, yeah. So, okay, wasn't that essentially the same thing, except it was, instead of being in the same episode of Dynamite, it was set up on the week before? Well, yeah, that's totally different, man. That's what I heard. It's totally different. No, it's not really totally different. It's just spaced out between episodes instead of being in the same show. They literally built a tag match with four guys, same as on SmackDown, that while they technically don't have anything to do with each other, they're technically a little bit interwoven in the story, and they made it one of the main events on their show. It's exactly what SmackDown did, except they did it in one episode instead of two.
I mean, it's like I agree with you, but like I don't agree with you. Because it's not about the basic wrestling storytelling concept of setting up a tag team match. It's about the match that has run-ins that turns into a tag match later in the night. That is getting done pretty regularly in WWE. Now, I don't disagree with you that you're basically saying, like, yeah, like, that's... Because, I mean, it's basic wrestling setup. Any wrestling company does this. But it is getting a little overdone in WWE with, like, the match run-in, tag match later in the night. All happening in one night. It's getting a little overdone in WWE.
I'm not going to disagree with that point. But here's my thing. When you're getting the same outcome... And I'm talking between both of these scenarios that we've talked about just now. What's the flipping difference? If I get a chocolate cake at the end of the recipe, and there's two different ways to do it, it's still a chocolate cake. You know what
but
I mean?
But that's not it, right? That's not what's happening. It's every week you're watching the fucking cake get made, and then getting a chocolate cake. It's not. It's a okay. So like. It's different because it's not, let me think of my words here. You're not, like, it's happening repeatedly, right? The same night, over and over. They're using the same basic, it's the same complaint as when Raw started with Stephanie McMahon coming out and opening it up for, like, 35 weeks in a row. Like, it's just getting tiresome watching it being done. It's the same basic thing over and over. It's a match. Now we're having a run-in. Oh, here's the other run-in. Tag match later tonight.
No, I understand what you're saying.
It's not about getting chocolate cake at the end. It's about, like, why the fuck do we keep getting chocolate cake? God damn it. Like, we're tired of this fucking cake.
You're tired of the process. I get it. I do. I understand it. But what I'm trying to, the point I'm trying to make is, you know, the complaints I saw, even though, yes, the complaints were, well, they set this up this way all the time. But yeah, wrestling sets themselves up almost the same way all the time anyway. Like, there's only so many ways to set these things up, right?
I mean, so, at its core, yeah.
While I can agree, maybe not the best way to continue to set things up. Maybe we should have tried something different. I'm not disagreeing there. What I'm saying is the end result is essentially the same. And it's weird to see things kind of go down similarly in different companies. Similar matches or match styles, even if the setups are different, and one be loved and one be just ridiculed and hated. You know what I mean?
Well, it's like it's completely different, man. I actually, the more we're talking about this, the more I'm like, man, I think maybe you're just fucking like grasping at straws. I really do. I think you are, man, because it's like, okay, so one show's been on for 3 weeks. They've done this one time spread out over two episodes. They use this storytelling device. Spread out over two episodes. WWE's consistently done this week in and week out on one of their shows for months now. Like, it's a completely different thing, man.
Let me actually correct you, Mike. They've done this a couple times on Dynamite, right off the bat. First episode, when the Inner Circle is introduced, and attacks, I don't even remember, it all runs together at this point, but they attack, and then what, the next week we had, who was it, Dustin and Hangman against Jericho and Guevara,
yeah, that's
right?
That's not at all the same scenario.
Saw on SmackDown, but it's the same scenario that we saw again on Dynamite the next week.
Yeah, okay. If you want to say they're overusing the NWO group attack tactic that like leads into a tag team match, then use that as the comparison. But like,
I'm not even gonna say they're overusing it because I really don't care. It's just the hypocrisy that I see, Mike. It's the hypocrisy.
You're seeing hypocrisy everywhere now because there is a massive amount of hypocrisy. But I think in this one, man, it's a misplaced hypocrisy.
I don't think it is. It's just a different. Like I said, yeah, okay. I'm not disagreeing that maybe WWE does that setup a little bit too much. I'm not disagreeing, Mike. I agree with that. What I'm disagreeing about is, I'm being told on the internet by fans everywhere that this match is meaningless and I hate it and I don't want to see these guys in a tag match, but I definitely want to see these other guys in a tag match that was set up in a similar but different way that they repeatedly use on this other show.
I don't know. I think we're going to have to agree to disagree on this.
I'm right, you're wrong. Let's move on. But anyway, I thought SmackDown was a decent show. I enjoyed it. It didn't blow my mind, which is fine, because, you know, the company that's supposed to change the universe hasn't blown my mind yet either. You know what blew my mind? NXT. Anyway, Raw. Again, let's move into Raw territory, because like I said, SmackDown was SmackDown. It is what it is. I want to say this, man. Shinsuke Nakamura's entrance and that set looked fucking incredible, did it not?
Yeah, it looked really good.
That stage, the setup, the lights, the pyro, good God, man. They nailed that one. Now knocked it out of the park because it just has such a big-time feel to it. Monday Night Raw, again, man. What did you think of Raw? Because I saw a lot of hate for that as well. And I, again, for the second week in a row, even more than the draft episode of Raw, I thought this episode was flipping fun, man. Lots of new faces still getting used. We got a lot of actual in-ring work on this show, and I enjoyed it. What say you? To steal a phrase.
I thought it was fun. The in-ring matches. It was an interesting way to introduce the Humberto Carrillo.
Yes, the White Power Ranger.
I thought he had a very La Parca feel about him.
that's fair. That's also fair.
Also, thoughts out with La Parca. He sustained a very serious injury.
Yes. Yes.
So thoughts and prayers to La Parca.
Is that the real La Parca?
Yeah, it was the real La Parca.
I'm so confused
about
that whole situation too. Okay.
So, the Ricochet, Drew McIntyre was fun. At some point, they're going to have to stop 50-50 booking some of these guys.
I'll give you that.
Ricochet is one of those guys that's suffering from it. Drew McIntyre
was suffering from it.
We'll see. It seems like they're giving him a push right now, but it always seems like they're giving him a push. and then, what was the other? Andrade?
Andrade Sin Cara, and here's another place where the hypocrisy is going to come in. So, we had Andrade versus Sin Cara. Andrade got a pretty decent win previous week on Raw. Sin Cara's been gone for a long time, comes back. So, in your mind, now here's where we get a little unpredictable, Mike, because in your mind, you kind of think, man, Sin Cara's been gone for a while. They might want to establish him and give him a win, right? Like, maybe it's not the prevailing thought, but it does creep in your head. I mean, it creeped into my mind just a tad, you know what I mean? And then I thought, but they're really clearly going with Andrade, so that's a crazy thought, Mike. That's what I thought, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Andrade gets the win, a little help from Zelina Vega, and I see my good buddy JD from New York exclaim on Twitter how this is horseshit, and they just buried Andrade because he needed help from Zelina Vega to beat Sin Cara, who's a jobber.
I swear sometimes it's like this dude doesn't know how wrestling works.
And I'm like, hold on. And I tweeted to him, but as most cases, he won't respond to me because the one time he did, I put him in his place and he just shut up. I said, how, like, that's, first of all, that's the package with Andrade. Like, Zelina Vega is the heel manager. I don't give a shit if he's fighting Barry Horowitz or he's fighting fucking Kevin Owens, man. He's going to cheat to win, right? Like, that's his thing. That's their thing. She's part of the package, okay? He's a fucking chicken shit heel. Now, you and I had a discussion about Chris Jericho versus Darby Allin last week, did we not?
Yeah.
And while both of us were a little foggy,
we had like an intense ongoing conversation about it.
Well, we even went off the air with it as well, as I found more stuff out. Like I said, I fell asleep. You watched it, but you were kind of in and out. And I had a problem. This is bringing new stuff to the show because this was after our recording and more things were examined. I told you off air I had a bigger problem with this because Chris Jericho, a veteran, a former world champion in other companies, should not have needed help to beat essentially, and this is no insult to Darby Allin, but essentially a nobody with his hands tied behind his back, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I brought that up and got no response. So what we're saying is it's totally cool to have your world champion have to tie someone's hand behind their back, have interference to get a win, but it's burying Andrade, who's not a world champion, who's never been a main roster champion because this was before NXT was considered a third brand officially, and uses his manager to beat someone who, you know, 9 times out of 10 is how he wins his matches anyway. And the argument I got from some people that jumped into the conversation was, well, Sin Cara is a jobber, Darby Allin is not. They're trying to do something with him. That's what I heard. And Sin Cara isn't established like Darby Allin. Hold on. Sin Cara is in a motherfucking Scooby-Doo movie. Okay, I know, sounds crazy, but he might not have like a stellar win-loss record here over in the WWE, but I'm pretty sure my son is going to know who Sin Cara is before Darby Allin. You know what I mean?
If your son knew who Darby Allin was, I would be surprised. I'd be like, whoa, man, that kid maybe just needs to take my spot on this show.
Here's the answer. He doesn't. Okay, but he knows who Sin Cara is because he's watched that damn WWE Scooby-Doo movie like 100 times. And you know who the main character is? Flippin' Sin Cara, okay? So,
Is it really?
Yeah, Sin Cara, John Cena, and Miz and Kane, I believe, are like the main characters.
That is depressing.
Well, this is, it's older, Mike.
That's still depressing.
But, I mean, the point I'm trying to make is, like, you can't say that Sin Cara is not more, regardless of how you feel about the guy, he's a more established name than Darby Allin, wouldn't you agree?
Yes. Fuck, he's just so bad. Like, I do not enjoy his work at all.
No, me neither. But to like, I would have less of a problem with, if we put Jericho and Sin Cara in a match, I would have less of a problem with Jericho needing help to beat Sin Cara than I would Darby Allin. First of all, the sizes are more equivalent between Sin Cara and Jericho, right? I mean, it's just, I don't know.
Sin Cara, like, as one of those luchadors, if he was in WCW in 1996, he'd come out and you'd be like, how the fuck is this dude a cruiserweight? And he would also only, like, specifically... oh, he would only also specifically take part in, like, ridiculous six-man tags and would, like, have, like, decent matches at, like, the 9 o'clock hour with Juventud Guerrera.
With Hoovy Juice?
No, I don't like that version of Juventud.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. But, I mean, okay, so do you see the hypocrisy there a little more than my first example, Mike?
Yeah. Yeah, I get what you're... Yeah, this one makes sense.
And then when we move along through the night, I get... And I can use the same example from the Dynamite from AEW, because, again, it can be brought into this conversation. And I heard from, like, big-time talking heads on this that I listen to that this Humberto-Rollins match did nothing for Humberto. That's what I heard. It did nothing for Humberto, made Seth Rollins look weak because he struggled to beat a nobody. What the fuck is Darby Allin, Mike?
Oh, man, Darby Allin is... a fucking nobody, really. And I mean, Seth, honestly.
Seth beat Humberto in a really good match, clean in the middle of the ring. Jericho beat Darby Allin with his hands tied behind his back with help from his buddies. Come on. Like, if you're going to say that this match did nothing for Humberto and made Seth Rollins look weak, then Jericho looks like a fucking fool. I'm sorry.
They're right, because that time that John Cena almost beat Kurt Angle, it didn't do anything for John Cena, and it did make Kurt Angle look weak, too, so.
Yeah, right, exactly. I mean, the hypocrisy is borderline disgusting, and this is neither company's fault. Let me make that really clear. This is just the fan bases. But if you're an AEW fan and you're hoping, like, that this company, like, succeeds in a major way and gets big ratings and draws new people in, you know, going at people and just trashing the WWE product in ways that are hypocritical, it's not going to do it, man. You want to pick apart things that are legit, fine. But when you're not seeing the hypocrisy of what you're saying, it's not going to pull people in. It's going to push people away. And I know the fan base is not necessarily responsible for drawing people in, but they can definitely be responsible for pushing people out. Because I think WWE's fan base has that same problem. But at the same time,
I think every fan base of everything has that problem.
But the difference is, WWE's fan base is big enough that that's not going to really affect them in a major way, where AEW is trying to build theirs and has a larger pool to pull from, I think is fair to say.
Yeah, and their fans in AEW are all fucking snobs, too.
They are. They are wrestling elitist, which is funny, because we kind of called ourselves that before. An early iteration of this...
Well, we had, like, a real, like, point for using that at the time.
We did. We don't anymore.
It's
our past. It's in the rearview mirror, Mike.
Yeah. It really is.
But, I mean, the hypocrisy of the modern wrestling fan, the online outrage. You know, I saw someone on social media, somebody actually put, I don't even remember where this was. It was on one of the pages I follow. It might even be the new WWE on Fox SmackDown page. Someone posted on there and said, can't we all just be positive and enjoy the product and this and that and the other? And someone wrote on there. Yeah, well, someone wrote on there under that comment and said something to the effect of, I've been following pro wrestling for years, and I got probably into the online version of pro wrestling in an early stage, is what they were saying. They were saying when the internet was really young and there were boards for the, like, WWE video games and shit. And he was just saying, like, it's been a negative cesspool since the internet was invented, is what he was saying. He's like, more people see it now because everyone's tuned in, where I saw it early on a board, on a game board, when people were just bashing the product on a video game outlet. You know what I mean? Is what he was trying to say. And I was like, you know, it's never going to change. And I think this individual was right. The internet makes it worse. It amplifies it. And, you know, in 2019, man, you have the internet in your pocket at all times. So it's constant, and it's borderline miserable.
You want to know something I'd like to point out that's, like, been real, like, shitty thing I've noticed?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is Web is Jericho. Do you follow this?
I haven't paid attention to it at all. I know it exists. I just...
So I follow it. it's interesting. But
let me ask you, do you follow, like, do you get alerts from a page? Do you follow it on Twitter?
I
like...
follow it on Facebook.
Okay.
It just shows up on my newsfeed. So as you may or may not know, WWE 2K20 came out.
Oh, I know. Believe me. I've seen the complaints.
Okay, so it's been a bit glitchy, I guess.
From what I've seen, yes. Which, I mean, happens all the time with new games, but go ahead.
It's like for the last, I don't know, however many days since this game's come out.
Two days.
Web is Jericho has done is post videos of glitches and just make fun of this game. And it's like, I left a comment and I said, so the AEW game is fucking perfect then, huh? Oh, wait. Never mind. There isn't an AEW game. Like,
right.
Like, I get wanting to make fun of it. It's a wrestling topic. Make some jokes, you know. But it's like they're obsessed with putting it down, and it's like, you don't even have a fucking game. Like, you don't even have a fucking game. Like, you're honest to God making fun of them for having a game that's gonna, like, make millions of dollars, sell millions of copies. And you're making fun of it, and it's gonna be fixed in one fucking update.
Yep.
And you're making fun of it, and you don't even have a fucking game.
Yep, and here's the better part.
Like, you look like such shitty fucking assholes, it makes it so hard for me to root for you guys.
Yeah, and, man, see, this is what bothers me, because as a whole, and as a wrestling fan, and as someone who, you know, you'll agree with me on this, Mike, I probably defend WWE more than I should.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm trying to think of how I want to phrase this. I'm a wrestling fan. You're a wrestling fan, right?
Right.
You probably consider yourself a WWE guy more than anything. I know I do. Do you agree with that statement?
Probably I watch more WWE than anything, but I am a New Japan guy.
And that's fair. But before you found New Japan...
Yeah, I've been a WWE guy my whole life. Yeah. Yeah, I'll never quit watching.
That's what I mean. Yes.
I threaten it a lot, but as long as we do this show, I'll never quit watching.
Yeah, and even after that, you won't quit watching. You would still be in tune if we didn't do this show. And this is kind of the same, but kind of different because it's the
I don't
same
know, man.
Company,
I'm gonna be honest with you, dude. Back in that span.
Yeah, I know.
I would have quit watching.
I know. But you would have still texted.
I'd have kept up with
anything
it.
Anything good happen?
I'd have kept up with it on Facebook and shit, social media.
That's what I mean. So you would never be completely tuned out. Let me say this. It's similar but different because it's the same company, but I'm a WWE guy, but my favorite version is NXT. Does that make sense?
I feel exactly the same way, yeah.
And it's where it's technically still WWE, but it's different. It's totally different. And it's something that if I didn't watch Raw or SmackDown, I would still watch NXT and still be in tune to the product as a whole. And still consider myself a WWE guy. What I was trying to say is, as wrestling fans, man, WWE's been the one constant. Be it good or bad, it's been the constant, right? So I'm not going to... I'm never going to not watch some form of WWE pro wrestling, right?
Yeah.
But as a wrestling fan, the fact that AEW, a big budget alternative, exists, that's good for WWE. I know we said it on the show. I know other people have said it because... one way or another, man, if you're not happy with what you're seeing on the main product, or, the Raws, the SmackDowns, it's going to reflect eventually if it's universally thought, and it's going to make them change things, and things will or should get more interesting on those shows, right?
Hopefully.
Just because of the existence of another company. So I sit here as a wrestling fan who's also a WWE guy, rooting for AEW to do well because of pro wrestling, because I want all of pro wrestling to be healthy. I want every company from WWE to Ring of Honor to New Japan to New Japan America, Mike, to AEW to MLW to do well and push each other so that all of it's entertaining and everyone has fun, right?
Yeah.
But man, when you're kind of just dickish about everything, it really makes it hard to root for you. And it's fine to be in a war. It's fine to take measured and I think, how do I want to say this? It's fine to take shots that make sense. But when your entire company turns into, we're just here to make fun of WWE, man, it really makes you look at things differently.
Yeah, because it looks petty. It's pettier than Eric Bischoff, who was like, I'm going to shut you down, Vince McMahon. This shit just looks super petty.
It looks petty, it sounds petty, and it, how do I want to say this? While that was Eric's, MO and what maybe his end goal was, he didn't make that the identity of the company. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it wasn't the identity of the company. It's borderline the identity of AEW.
I don't even think it's borderline at this point anymore, Mike. And I've heard some things about this episode that we are going to discuss here in a little bit of Dynamite. Once I watch it, I'll come to my own conclusions, but... man, I want them to do well, but they just need to stop with this company is about making fun of people and who are in WWE, making fun of people who watch WWE, making fun of anything that has anything to do with WWE. Just be a good wrestling show, man. Just be a good wrestling show. That's what I want. They're going head-to-head with NXT. And NXT hasn't said one thing about AEW other than congratulating them on their first night of ratings. Hasn't made one reference to make fun. They're, by all means, we could see a tag match on an NXT television show and Mauro could easily say on commentary, look, a tag match with rules. That's a change, isn't it? He could say that. You know, you can make fun of the fact that AEW is touting themselves on having the best tag teams in the world, and they have zero rules in their tag matches, Mike, which we're going to get into, okay? You could definitely say that. They could definitely say that. They don't.
They don't even need to, man.
They just don't need to.
Let
but
AEW keep being
neither
the one that talks shit. No, I'm saying specifically in this scenario, man, let AEW just keep being the ones that talk shit, and eventually it's going to work itself out.
But that's the thing that's frustrating, Mike. I don't want... how do I say this? I want AEW to succeed at least to the point to push WWE, but it seems like they just want to... what am I trying to say? It's like the fucking gnat that won't... You keep trying to swat and you keep missing it. Like, it's not going to do any damage to you, but it's certainly going to annoy the shit out of you.
Well, yeah, it's fucking annoying as fuck.
And eventually you are going to kill that motherfucker. And I'd rather it just kind of sit in the corner and not bother you and not bother anyone else and just exist.
Yeah, man, just go do your gnat shit. You just don't be up in everyone's face about it.
And be enough to make sure everyone knows you're there, but you're not annoying. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's the best analogy, but it's what came to the top of my head. Like, we're going to take a break. When we come back, it's time for the Wednesday Night War discussion again, Mike. And since I'm still hard from NXT, like I'm driving with a giant wrestling boner right now, it's going to be an interesting conversation. Hang tight. We will be right back.
It's Boris and Bart
with a super short report.
We're back on Drive-By. We've been gone for a couple of weeks, but we're back now.
That's right, I am back. They do not care you're back, but they love the fact I am back.
Yeah, well, anyways. So the big Saudi Arabia trip is coming back around the crown jewel, which nobody likes.
Except for me. I love it. I think it is a great show.
Now, Boris, it's going to be so bad. It's going to be unspeakably bad.
I do not agree. You want to talk about the unspeakably bad? I will say this. The AWE.
Boris, I know that you're doing it on purpose. I know that you're doing it on purpose.
All right, WAE, I cannot stand. They say they get the blood, the guts. I have not seen that yet, not at all.
Yeah, the blood and guts was kind of a little bit disappointing so far, but it's been unbelievable, Boris. It has been so awesome.
I do not agree. They need the blood, the guts. Other than that, it is a bunch of very little people. And the biggest man there is a Chris Jericho, if a new Legion of Doom.
No, Boris. Oh, my gosh. He is not reforming the Legion of Doom, I promise you. Chris Jericho is not reforming the Legion of Doom.
That's right, because the hawk and the animal can't eat the people that are there with the Jericho in the Circle of Fools. That's right.
Oh, my gosh, Boris. Stop it. But I think AEW is totally awesome, and I know that the Blood and Guts hasn't necessarily lived up to the name yet, but it's still, it's been super sweet.
I do not think so. I think the WWE is very much better, very much better. That's right, Bart. That's right. And I think Crown Jewel is going to be the greatest show in the world. Very true.
No, it's not. It's absolutely not. This week, this Wednesday on AEW, I guarantee you it's more entertaining than Crown Jewel, than the entire thing.
All right, we will see. Thank you for having us here on the bike to drive by the very good man.
That's right. Thanks for having us, guys. Have a good one.
Yeah.
Mike, we're trucking along through this Wednesday night war. The ratings are in again. Dip for both companies, although I guess in the long run, NXT held a little steadier. They just dropped under 700,000. AEW dropped under 1 million for the first time. I'll be the first one to admit I was surprised when they started out above 1 million. I thought that was impressive for them. I think you would agree with that.
Yeah.
I think both companies need to stop the bleeding when it comes to ratings, because losing is never good. Not only, and I'm not talking about one losing to the other, but I'm talking about wrestling fans tuning in less and less on a Wednesday night, which is, to be fair, the best night in pro wrestling of the week. I think you could agree with that.
Yeah. I would say. Easily.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah. You know, and I've not been shy or, you know, hid the fact that I am 100% an NXT fanboy. It's my favorite pro wrestling that I can watch in, you know, of all choices. But we're doing this. We're talking both sides of this. We're talking AEW. We're talking NXT. I want to save any and all NXT talk for last because, again, I just, for me, personally, it's just the more interesting product right now. That being said, I think there's a lot of stuff that we can touch on in AEW, so we can start the conversation there and finish off a little bit with just some things, maybe one major thing from NXT. So, this is 4 now, right, Mike, of AEW Dynamite?
Yes.
Again, before we go into it, I thought it was a good show. This was probably my favorite episode that they've put on so far. How about you?
AEW, this was easily their best show. Their best show, hands down, that they've done. They've got better every week. Every week it's gotten progressively better.
Yeah, I would agree with that statement. Now, I wanted to get that out of the way because I'm going to go right out the gate, man. And I could be wrong. I think you had pull the curtain back. We talked throughout Thursday as I watch NXT Wednesday night. You watch AEW Thursday morning when you are able to after your work. And then we kind of flip-flop when we can and watch the other product. We text back and forth. Dude, you know that I have issues with their tag team stuff, right?
Yeah.
And I've stated it on the show.
Anybody that listens to this show knows that.
Yeah, and I know that I'm not alone in that thought. I want to say this first. I really like the Lucha Brothers. And I want to say that I think Private Party has potential to be a really good team. But man, that match, to me, was just atrocious. And here, let me state my reasons. I don't watch wrestling to see a worked through choreographed dance, and that's what that reminded me of. I know that things, you know, sometimes you gotta take time to set spots up, but when the match is a complete spot fest without any psychology at all to it, then, and you have two guys that I'm gonna just say are really green, and I think that's a fair statement in Private Party, you could literally see them set up spot after spot. The one, I don't know either in their names, Mike, but the guy that does not have the blonde in his hair for Private Party, you could almost see him doing counts in his head like a dancer would when they're preparing for a routine. And slow motion doesn't describe some of the movement. So while I'm going to say that I enjoy the Lucha Brothers and I like this episode of Dynamite, I thought this was quite possibly one of the worst matches I've seen on AEW television. Now, I know that the crowd loved it. There's tons of people that really enjoyed it. And they like that style of wrestling. It's not for me, man. And it doesn't look like they're going to change that anytime soon. And while they tried to explain a little bit of the leniency with the rules, which I give them props for, don't know why it took you 4 episodes to do this when you started out with a tag tournament from episode 1, or episode 2, whenever. But at least you're explaining, hey, like, the Lucha Brothers, there's different rules in Mexico. Okay, that makes sense. But, dude, I still can't keep track of who's legal in any of their damn tag matches after the first 3 minutes. And that's a problem.
And you also need to state, like, pretty regularly throughout a Lucha Bros match, this is going to be a Lucha Tag Team match. Like, if you guys want to keep comparing yourself to WCW in 1997 or whatever the fuck you're doing, the 1 year they were better than WWF. Notice that's, like, the year they, like, really seem to hone in on.
Right.
Like, we're going to beat WWE. But, like, you know... they're like, we're gonna, you know, I don't know. It just seems like they're trying so hard to be like 1997 WCW.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And they need to state before Lucha Brothers matches, hey, it's gonna be a Lucha Tag Team match. And they really need to start getting not Lucha Brothers tag matches, you know? Need to start getting some... They need to start really hammering rules down on those, and they need to, at some point, the Lucha Brothers are going to have to wrestle a normal tag team match.
Well, here's the thing.
Like, just because you're in the match doesn't mean it gets to be your match rules. Like, I always hated when it was like, I'm Raven, and this match is Raven's rules. Well, no, motherfucker, there's another guy in the match. Well, maybe he doesn't want a Raven's rules match because you're a whiny fuckboy that has to have his own rules for every match.
That's actually what I was going to say. They have to be penalized for it at some point in time, right? Like, there's got to be a point where one of these referees says, hey, we're looking like idiots out here. You're disqualified because you're not paying attention to the 10 count that they have now to be in the ring. Yeah. And you're just not making proper tags. Like, I mean, the tag from last week was just atrocious where... Pentagon was in the ring, in the corner. Phoenix rolled over to him and tagged him. And they're like, oh, that's cool. Like, no, it does not work that way. I think I tweeted about it from our Twitter account. Someone actually responded to me and said, well, as long as they're holding the rope in the corner, it doesn't matter if they're in or out of the ring. I'm like, what wrestling have you been watching, dude? Like, if that was the case, then everybody would stand in the ring and hold the rope, wouldn't they?
Yeah, I mean, that's just looking for a justification for a fucking
which
rule.
Comes back to our earlier conversation, Mike, about hypocrisy and wrestling fan and this fan base, and this is what's driving me nuts. You can have problems with AEW, you can have problems with WWE, but if you're going to cite issues with one product, you can't accept it in another product just because you want, you know, that product to do better, to be the better brand, right?
Yeah.
And we're seeing on both sides, to be fair, we're seeing justification because you're supporting that team. And it's turning, like, it actually at one point I didn't even write you, I was going to write you, I was like, dude, I don't even want to watch wrestling this week. I was getting so fed up with what people were saying that I almost just wanted to shut all of it off. And I think that that's going to continue to kind of build as we go through this with the fan bases. And the thing that concerns me is that's, in my opinion, you know, AEW has the smaller fan base. That's who it's going to hurt more.
I don't know. I don't know if it's going to hurt them more because their fan base is so, like, clicky.
Yes, but what are clicks? Their clicks are small, right? Clicks are small, tight groups.
Yeah.
And they need to grow.
I just don't think it's gonna...
And I'm not saying that it's gonna drop them down to, you know, 200,000 viewers a week. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I am saying is they don't have a huge television contract. So they need those numbers to improve, or at least hold steady. Like, they're under a million now, Mike, and I'm sure that the million and 1.4 or 1.5 or whatever they started out on their debut episode, I'm sure that that blew the socks off of TNT and they were super thrilled. But once you achieve that, you can't go backwards. And we saw it with SmackDown, man. They did almost 4 million on their debut episode. It's cutting, you know, they've lost almost a million after that, or whatever the case may be. Maybe a little more than that at this point. And we've already seen heads roll. You get where I'm going with this?
Mm-hmm.
And now, granted, I know the TV deal is different. I know Fox has $1 billion invested in WWE, where, from everything we hear, if you believe it or not, TNT doesn't have any money invested other than some ad revenue. They didn't sign a giant, you know, contract with this company. So, yeah, it's different, but it's not going to help them to secure this for the future if they can't show that there's a reason they need paid for this. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I just think AEW themselves don't do anything to put these fires out. They actually kind of push it.
Yeah,
they want
everything
the fans to be rebellious towards the other company.
This is everything they do is working towards this one goal of just like being dickheads and like petty.
Yeah, and I don't like, I'm okay with an occasional shot here and there, but I don't think I've seen Cody on their television yet where he doesn't say something anti-WWE. Like, dude, rely on your in-ring ability and your how good of a booker you plan on being, and just make a better product, and that will speak for itself, right?
Yeah. I mean, it should, but, you know, we'll see what happens.
It's crazy.
Actually, we're seeing what happens. Like, they're out there just being obnoxious.
Yeah, and it like, that's what I'm saying. Like, your core fan base is gonna eat that up. And I mean, you're right when you say they have that clicky style fan base, because they do. But the non-core, like, I wouldn't consider myself part of their core fan base. I'm a quote-unquote outsider. I'm not a New Japan guy like you. I never was a Ring of Honor. While I checked that stuff out, you know, it just wasn't something that I was diving deep into on a consistent basis. And, you know, I'm the kind of person that they need to try to win over, because I like wrestling. I will watch it. But, and I'll watch, I'll never probably call you and say, Mike, I'm done with AEW. That's not going to happen. At least not while Chris Jericho is there. But, like, there are fans who don't do things like this, don't do podcasts, who are in the same level as I am, that eventually are going to be like, you know what, I'm just not going to deal with this, because I just want to watch wrestling and enjoy it, instead of having people bicker about, well, we're better than this guy, and we're better than that guy, and they're not even talking about someone that's across the ring from them. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's a risky thing, and I'm getting to the point where I'm kind of over it, and I just want to see them put on a show, stand on their roster, stand on their storytelling and the talent that they have, and just be AEW, not AEW, quote, or parentheses, we're better than WWE. Like, I don't want that product. I just want AEW, man.
Yeah, I just want AEW. You know what's crazy? Is if you go to a, like a WWE Facebook page, be it SmackDown, Raw, NXT, the Performance Center, even the fucking Performance Center page, you have to deal with this on. Like, if you go to any of those, right, like, you mm-hmm. don't, like, the only mentions of AEW are some AEW ass clown fan that has to pop in, and they say, like, the most retarded shit, like, AEW's gonna put NXT out of business, SmackDown and Raw next. Like, get the fuck out of here, man. Like, that's the only mention of AEW you will see. You'll never see, like, a WWE fan. Or at best, you'll see, like, someone be like, NXT's really putting on better matches than AEW. A fact.
Yes.
That's it. That is it. That's all you see about AEW in there, right? It's from an obnoxious mm-hmm. AEW fan, or maybe someone that's like, really enjoyed that Omega Pac match. Which I didn't. We're going to get into that later. Trust me.
Mm-hmm.
So, That's all you see. You go to an AEW page, go to AEW, or even Web is Fucking Jericho, which is like the most trash-ass fucking wrestling outlet on the internet right now, which I'm very disappointed in because I love Chris Jericho. I was like, Chris Jericho starting his own website. I even thought about like applying to write, like, because if you don't know about me, like, I used to write. So I even thought about like applying to write for it until I realized like they pay you fuck all nothing. He pays you nothing. Which explains why they have all these trash fucking articles. But anyway, you go to trash ass Web is Jericho page or the AEW Dynamite Facebook page or the AEW Fit, whatever. And all the comments are is how fucking AEW's gonna murder WWE. Like, it's nothing good about what AEW. No one's ever like, really love that women's match. It's always like, Britt Baker's a bigger star than Charlotte, and they're going to kill WWE. Like, what the fuck are you assholes talking about, man? Like, you, like, Dynamite, like, okay, if this was a Monday Night War, right? Like, please understand that Dynamite is getting fucking murdered every week. Every fucking week.
Yeah, I mean,
what, like, you're a ratings guy. Are the ratings even comparable to Monday Night Raw? They dropped below a million this week.
No.
The ratings are even their best show was
the lowest I've seen Raw in recent times, I think, was like a 2-3.
Yeah. So like understand that if they put themselves on Monday and it was an actual fucking war, not like, hey, all our best guys against your performance center. Because let's get that out of the way, right? The best wrestling stars in the world are on AEW. We're beating your performance center.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. By like 100,000 views.
Yeah, and let me kind of jump in there, too. You know, because we'll talk about this later, but the whole Seth Rollins comment, and then you could throw back to the Kenny Omega comment where he said they're developmental and they would be in my dark matches if they were on, you know, they would be in a dark match if I was in the main event, is what he said.
Adam Cole was main event. Adam Cole was main event in fucking shows that Kenny Omega was in the opening match on. So let's not fucking forget that, right? Let's not forget that Adam Cole was the Ring of Honor champion when Kenny Omega was the seventh white guy in the Bullet Club.
So, you know, he says that, and Triple H puts it out there that they are not developmental. This is their third brand. And I do agree that they are a third brand. But it's still going to take them a long time to shrug that developmental image, especially while they're taping in Full Sail. I hate to say it, but I do agree with that. But that being said, man, even if they are the third brand, AEW's one of AEW's biggest star called them developmental. So now you have to say, okay, our biggest stars are only getting right now like 300,000 more viewers than their developmental territory.
Yeah.
And even if you're a WWE fan and you're like, no, don't call them developmental. Well, you know, that's fine. But according to AEW, that's what they are, and that makes them look even worse. By them, I mean AEW.
I'm not even, like, meaning to, like, bash AEW on this, man. It's more like, but, like, fuck, sometimes you have to. It's like, dude,
I know.
Just
you know what's weird?
Here's what's crazy. You know what's weird, Mike, is if they, like, if the letters WWE stop falling out of their mouths so fucking much, we probably wouldn't complain about them at all on this show. Honestly, we'd be like, eh, that women's match sucked. Tag rules are a little wonky. But we'd be praising them other than this.
Yeah.
Like,
no, I agree.
Consistently, this is like what we have to come back to with these guys. Where it's just like, and their fans. Like, just shut the fuck up, man. Just let the product go. Like, you're not going to put anything out of business. Like, you never see WWE fans like, oh, I'm going to put AEW out of business. No. No. They're like, pretty good show on Tuesday, AEW.
And the ones that do, they're not, if you would see, they're just too absorbed in it where that's all they want. And that's fine. I mean, I don't like the statement, but that's fine. Because as a wrestling fan, you want multiple companies because you do want. Like, I'm excited for AEW more than anything because I do want Vince McMahon to step his game up. You know what I mean? Like, that's what we all want. And this is really the only way for it to happen. And that's another thing that that has me concerned is, if they don't do as well, then there's no reason for Vince McMahon to step up. You know what I mean? Like, sure, you can step up on NXT, but I don't think you need to. Like, NXT is doing a fantastic job. They just, I think they have a lot of the same fans that watch this damn AEW show. And I, again, creatures of habit. People were used to watching NXT on the network. I think a lot of people were used to watching NXT on the network, not on the night that it aired, which was Wednesday. They're used to going probably Thursday or even Friday. Probably a lot of people watched it on Saturday morning. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because it just was easier. And I think a lot of people still do that because it's an option. Or, hey, they can DVR it and watch it the same exact way, too. And that's not going to count towards that initial first night number. So, I think that it's a lot of crossover. I think if I'm trying to find this so I can bring it to our show and kind of hammer it out, but I want to see those plus three numbers for NXT. I would love to see the freaking network numbers for NXT. Because, and I mean the American ones, because we don't count outside, you know, of the scope of this for the ratings kind of talk. So I would love to see that, to add it all up and see where they really are. But that being said, like, as a whole, I think they're pretty equal. But you gotta stand on your own, man. And I know they could, and I know they could put on some stellar shows. I think I would like all their shows better if they left that shit out. You know what I mean?
Shit, yeah. I know exactly what you mean.
And as funny as we're talking, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about the episode, and I said it was my favorite episode, and now I'm starting to think maybe it's not. Because the more I start thinking about it, I'm finding things that I didn't like. I enjoyed the Cody and Jericho, like, promo / brawl, but I'm gonna pick things out, man. Like, why does our world champion need a ticket to get into their show? Because on one hand, I think, are they just trying to make fun of that kind of gimmick that every wrestling company does? Because if that's an inside joke, it plays very poorly. If they're really going for it, then it doesn't make sense.
It seemed to me that it was trying to be like a... you're the boss, Cody, so we're going to buy tickets tonight so we show up as fans and then you can't do anything about us, right? But
they didn't explain it. But hold on.
Well, they didn't explain it. And as Kevin Nash said, why the fuck does he have an AEW microphone?
Why does he have a microphone at all?
At all. If he's a fan, he shouldn't have a microphone. Now, there's a reasonable argument that he's the AEW champion, it's an AEW show, he could have just been like, yo, give me a microphone. But if he's a fan, it doesn't make sense for him to be in a box with a microphone, right? He bought a ticket, he's here as a fan.
And I'll give you that. If you're a fan, you walked in through the same security gates that everybody else walked in, and I don't know about you, but I've never been to a wrestling show where I walk in and there's an option for me to pick up a microphone from somewhere.
Right. All in all, like, the whole segment I was pretty okay with, other than Cody punching through a glass window, which is just like, you're Dusty Rhodes, kid, so I'm not shocked that you did some cornball wrestling shit like this.
That didn't bother me so much. I actually liked the brawl, but again, like, man, I mean this in the most undisrespectful way. And it's going to sound maybe disrespectful to both, and I don't mean it that way, but man, it just looked like Monday Night Raw, didn't it? Like, once they go up and they start brawling, they go out in the concourse, like, I've seen that on Raw, I've seen that on Night, like, seen it 1,000 times,
yeah, it's basic big wrestling show stuff.
Right, and I understand, there's only so many things you can do, and I totally get it, but, like, right off the bat, man, you're 4 weeks in, like,
there could have been something different there. You could have, you, and, oh, let me give you this one. We got another, you know, I'm not hearing complaints about it, but remember this whole thing was set up because Cody Rhodes is going to make a career-changing announcement, which we didn't get.
Yeah, that's true. He didn't make that. I forgot. I didn't even, like, realize that.
So,
I'll be honest. The thing that got me was the main event. Right.
Okay.
I hate.
Can we also wait before we go any further?
Yeah.
Even though there wasn't even a women's match on Monday Night Raw, can we declare that this AEW
worst women's
match was again
worst televised women's match of the week? Yes. And they're putting a lot of fucking effort into Britt Baker. She's got the most TV time mm-hmm. out of any woman. And she mm-hmm. is still just marginally okay at her job.
Yep.
But she's a dentist. Got that going for her.
She is definitely a dentist. Man, I think that Britt... I think Britt Baker, with a year in a performance center... No, I think with a year in a performance center, she could be uh-huh. something.
She if does, she could work. I don't think they have anyone there women, to polish her.
If she could work with other women who are training with other women and being trained by other women, and also some males that are stellar superstars from the past, I think she could be something. But I just...
Well, you look around,
I don't
like...
think...
If I'm if I'm Brandi Rhodes and I'm Kenny Omega, who are apparently running this women's division.
Yeah, what was that thing, by the way, with Brandi?
I don't know, man. That was weird, right?
It was bad.
That was fucking, that was, shove out of nowhere.
It was.
What the?
And then just the finger in the face with that. That was super awkward.
Yeah, and then the mean finger. Yeah, it was super awkward. It didn't make any sense. But if I was them running this women's division... I would put Leva Bates in a car with Britt Baker, and I would be like, look, you're travel buddies. Okay?
Yeah.
And when you're in the fucking
but they
car...
But they don't travel anywhere.
When you're in... That's true.
They see, this is...
Do they not travel? They don't travel week to week?
For Wednesday, and that's what I'm saying. Like,
right, they don't have to hit the shows. Right, they don't have
house
shows. I
meant to bring this up before the show started. Because I heard Tony Khan's interview with Wade Keller. He had like a 3-hour interview with Wade Keller, Tony Khan did. And he said a lot of stuff that I liked and a lot of stuff that I was like, oh, we'll see. And the we'll sees are starting to creep up, man. And one of them was, I'm paying a lot of guys a lot of money to wrestle one day a week. It's pretty much how he stated it. And that's cool, man. And I get it. One, it's not a business model you can sustain for super long. Two... I know that there's a lot of, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't want to say heat, because I don't want to use a wrestling term. I know there's a lot of criticism on WWE for their super busy road schedule, and probably some of that is warranted. That being said, part of the reason that those guys and girls are so crisp in the ring more often than not is because they do it over and over. Over and over.
Yeah, you want to know why your WrestleMania main events look so good? It's because they have that match at a house show 150 times that year.
Right. These guys and girls for AEW, unless they're taking outside bookings and they're allowed to take outside bookings, they are working one day a week if they're on the show. So you're going to have potential for some of these guys and girls to wrestle once a month. You're going to get slot fest from time to time. It's just the way it's going to be.
Yeah. I'm assuming some of these people are wrestling. I'm assuming most of these people are wrestling indies during the week.
And I am too, but when Tony Khan kind of says, like, they can get a part-time job, when he uses Britt Baker as a dentist as an example, not everyone's going to do that. And it has to be approved. It has to be an organization they approve them wrestling in, which makes sense because they want them to be safe. They don't want them to get hurt. So they want to make sure they know where they're working, what kind of ring they're working in. And I totally get that. That's a good move on their part. I don't think they should be working indie dates, but what do I know? I just think that it could breed a lot of sloppy matches and potentially injuries if these guys and girls aren't working. And I'm not saying they need to work 5-6 days a week, but I mean 2 or 3 and getting some road time in so that the people like Britt Baker can learn from an Awesome Kong or a Levy Bates. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and these are like the like people that they should have them learning from.
I assume they're flying in on Tuesday wrestling and then flying out on Thursday. Like, there's no road time, which I think, if we've learned anything listening to wrestling podcasts or reading autobiographies, it's that the road is where you learn the most.
Yeah, that is exactly where you learn, because that's where you get the psychology.
Yes.
Right. From everything I've listened.
Maybe that doesn't matter because
that's where like the psychology, everything that when you listen to any young wrestler on a podcast or any older wrestler even talking about like their days coming up in the car with the other wrestlers, the older wrestlers, you know, whatever you want to call them, the boys, whatever. I don't, you know. Not like a big wrestling terminology user because it makes you sound like a fucking mark, says the, well, it does, man. I'm sorry. Like, it, like Vince Russo uses the fucking wrestling terminology all the time on there and it's like, bro, stop, stop, man. Like, stop. So I don't like to, I mean, there's some of them you could say, right? Like Mark, right? Like that's fine. Mm-hmm. I don't think, you know, you alluded to Heat earlier. That's, But when you start referring to the wrestlers as, like, what they call each other, like, oh, the rest of the boys in the back, and that's, okay, slow down. So I'd like to step away from that. But, like, any interview that you hear or read by these guys, the psychology is learned in the car going from town to town. The nuances, like, that's learned in the car going from town to town. When you're showing up once a week, and I would imagine that they're just showing up and recording their spot and taking off, right? Like, I have a solid feeling that, like, you probably, it's probably not like WWE where you're expected to stay to the end of the show.
I mean, I have no idea.
I can't imagine it.
I know they tape, like, BTE and roads to and all that, so I don't know, but I'm sure not everybody has to stick around the entire time.
Like, it seems like a thing where you show up, you do your bit, and you leave, man. So you're not...
Very indie.
This company isn't giving anything back to the business other than an easier job for the wrestlers, right? That's all they're right. giving back. They're not giving back to the business as far as furthering the knowledge, furthering the history, all that stuff that like the guys that came before did and the guys in WWE still do. AEW does none of that. AEW's not giving back to the industry in any way other than saying, hey, you come over here, we'll pay you a bunch of money to work one day a week and give you some health insurance, which is great. It's great that wrestlers have a place where they can work less, and there's this health insurance thing. But the health insurance debate's a whole other debate, which I don't even want to get into right now. We're not
only
even...
We're
squashing it.
Office member.
So...
Selective fandom.
Like, yeah, that's the problem. Like, they're not doing anything to give back. That's what these, like, I don't get from these diehard, like, wrestling guys that are, like, lifelong fans of wrestling that kind of hate what WWE's been doing for like the last year, couple years, but they're so fucking like, oh my God, I just want AEW's dick in and around my mouth. That's how I feel. And it's like, I don't get why people like that love this because they're not giving back. They're not furthering that like that brotherhood. They're not furthering that internal knowledge. They're not furthering like, man, when you do a fucking wrist lock, if you keep your wrist twisted at a 32-degree angle, it makes it look like you're putting a lot of pressure on him that you aren't. They're not spreading that knowledge and nuance and history. None of that is getting done. And it's becoming obvious because you've got this You got your five top fucking guys, and then everybody below them is trying to figure out what the fuck they're doing on this show.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think it's a fair critique. I think it's something... I mean, it's not anything we were going to get into planned, but I'm glad we went here, because I think it's a valid point to be made, and it's not... I want to state we're not trying to critique them to the point of, you know, fuck these guys. I just think it's a point to be made, like... This company has potential to do wondrous things, but as of right now, like, it's in a weird state where it's almost, is it almost a parody of itself?
I don't think it's not a parody of itself yet.
But it could be. It could be. And I mean, like, you... I'm not, like, granted, TNA, Impact, they tape in a studio, you know, NWA tapes in a studio, so maybe you could make the same argument, they're not giving back either, but for a group of guys who wanted to change, you know, the universe, some of the things I'm seeing aren't necessarily the best changes. Yeah, there's some good stuff, definitely, for sure, and I do think it's, like... How do I want to say this again? A lot of these TNA guys, or Impact, a lot of the, especially the NWA guys, these are like, they're not newcomers. They're not guys that are plucking from the indies. They have experience. They have that road experience. You know what I mean? But AEW's roster, aside from the top like five guys, like you just said, they're all young prospects who are all very new and need to learn. And they're not going to get that with this schedule and with the time that is probably being spent in the ring and on the road.
Yeah, I completely agree with that.
All right, I want to keep rolling because we do have to wrap up here soon. Main event, man. You just go and I'll chime in because I know you have feelings.
Okay. So I was very fucking excited for this main event. Very fucking excited, right?
Yep.
I'm like, the Bastard Pac versus John Moxley. Alright, the heel versus heel, but you know, shit happens sometimes, whatever. So the whole episode I'm like, fuck, this is gonna be a good match. The match starts at 9:45. Right? So I'm like, it's going to be a 15-minute match. Well, actually, the match starts at like 9:40, right? So I'm like, ring. And let's be honest, ring entrances are pretty fast on AEW.
They are.
I'll give them that. I do enjoy that it's not like sometimes watching Raw, I'll just like, yo, I'm just going to fast forward for 5 minutes till both these guys are in the ring.
So they need to turn the music up a little bit though. I can barely hear any entrance.
Yes, I do agree with that. Except for Chris Jericho's terrible Fozzy song, which seems to play at the loudest possible volume of all time.
I like Fozzy.
Fuck, I hate that band, but we're not getting into that again either. So I'm like, okay, they're gonna get about 15 minutes of match. Alright, cool. And then Pac proceeds to jump John Moxley as he's coming to the ring, right? And Pac proceeds to beat John Moxley up for like 8 minutes. And then they go to commercial. And then they come back and they're like, oh, we're going to start the match now. And there's 9 fucking minutes left in the show. So at this point, anybody that's watched wrestling for as long as, you know, we have, you're like, oh, great. I see what the fuck's going to happen here. So they have 9 minutes of what is like, you know, it's okay. It's okay. It's what my niece says when something's like not great. It's okay. And then they start to talk. Well, a TV time limit. Well, fuck. So, of course, this thing is a 9-minute TV time limit match. Which isn't a big deal, right, in and of itself. I'm disappointed because I was promised this fucking match that I'm excited for. And I got a shitbag 9-minute match out of it with no fucking ending. But for a company that sure did preach about how their matches weren't going to have bullshit endings and wins and losses were going to matter, that was quite the bullshit ending. Like, don't misunderstand AEW. This is the exact same type of ending as if it was a DQ. Mm-hmm. Like, all you did was find a way for one of these guys to not have to take a loss. Which is counter to what you've been saying this whole fucking time. Oh, our matches are going to have finishes. Oh, that match had a finish. It just wasn't able to. Well, not being able to fucking have a finish is still the same as not having a finish.
Yeah. No, I'm 100%
like, you cheaped out and you went against your own shit. And this is the thing that we keep talking about. They consistently go against what they say they are going to do.
If this was a WWE match, the shit would have hit the fan. This would have been almost Hell in a Cell level results for WWE if they did this. With like the vow hatred for this decision. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes. If this was WWE, you Seth Rollins, we were promised the Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns, the main event, and then it only went 8 minutes and there wasn't even a finish.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I just had such a problem with it. Just such a fucking problem with it. Because you just keep saying shit. You just keep acting like you're so fucking good. So much better. And you're not. You just do the same bullshit. And like, I'm not even mad. It's wrestling bullshit. I'm mad that you keep acting like you're above wrestling bullshit and then do wrestling bullshit. Ran over.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I don't want to say, how do I want to say this? I didn't necessarily have an issue with it. Like, it didn't, like, I mean, to me, and maybe it's because it's just, like, to me, it's like, that's a pro wrestling thing. The reason I have an issue with it is because exactly what you just said. This is the stuff they said they weren't going to do, and they're doing it. Which, to me, just proves that, man, it's pro wrestling. It's all kind of the same. You just have some companies that are better at telling stories, and some companies that have better performers. And that's it. And better production. That's it.
Yeah.
Because there's only so many things you can do. So when people, like, sit here and act like AEW is going to be end-all, be-all, like, best wrestling company ever, like, they still have to do pro wrestling in the end. And pro wrestling sometimes just pisses people off. It's just the way it is.
Yeah. Pro wrestling here lately seems to be pissing a lot of people off.
Yeah, it really has. I'm changing my statement at the beginning. This is my least favorite episode of the show.
No, it's still my favorite episode of the show.
I can't, with as much as I had to say and we had to both say negative about it, I mean, it was a fine episode, it just wasn't my favorite. It's no longer my favorite episode that they've done so far. Last week was. I do want to talk real quick before we go. Two things. Real quick, we touched on it a minute ago. Seth Rollins made a statement at a Comic-Con or some interview where someone asked him about Kenny Omega, and he basically said, to paraphrase, he'd love to go against Kenny Omega, and when Kenny Omega's done in the minor leagues, then maybe he could come work for the biggest company with the biggest pay, and at the biggest show, WrestleMania, we could have that match there. I don't have a problem with what he said. It was not necessarily for public consumption, even though everything is for public consumption, so I'm not going to defend that way. I'm just saying he didn't say it on TV, he didn't say it to a magazine knowing it would get published, you know what I mean? But Jim Ross on Grillin' JR, when Conrad Thompson brought it up to him, definitely did not like what was said, and actually went so far as to say what he said was bad for the business. I've yet to hear any response from JR about what Kenny Omega said about NXT, which we talked about earlier. Let me put this out there. I didn't like what Omega said about NXT because he was literally trashing an entire roster. It would be fine if he said something about WWE or about, you know, the company as a whole. I don't have a problem with it. But when you're taking shots at a roster, I find a problem with that. What Rollins said was... not, he actually said he'd love to have a match with Omega, and he was taking a shot at the company. And I don't have a problem with that. Like, am I being hypocritical, or is what I'm saying make sense?
No, I mean, it makes sense because they just, they could talk all the shit they want, right? But as soon
as soon as someone fires back from WWE, they're the assholes.
Pretty specifically Seth Rollins.
Oh, yeah.
Then they're the assholes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know, man. It's daunting, and it's just... the hypocrisy drives me up a wall. And it's from the fans, but I mean, JR just sounds miserable when you hear him talk about anything anymore that's not AEW related, which seems a little hypocritical, just a little. I mean, he did make tons of money calling WWE matches for what, 20 plus years, 15 plus years, something like that.
Yeah.
So he didn't mind cashing that check with McMahon's name on it, for a long, long time. I don't know. It's weird to me, but it's just a point I wanted to make. I thought you'd agree with me, so we're good there. I do want to touch on NXT real quick. Solid show. Better night of wrestling all around. I mean, in-ring, regardless of what you want to talk about the show as a whole, in-ring. The big thing, and I was over the moon when it happened. I thought it was badass. I thought it was a very well laid out plan, executed to perfection, the Finn Balor heel turn, Mike, and I know you got it spoiled for you, and off air you were kind of like, it's just a heel turn, and I said, no, you just have to see it, and have to see it play out. I know you have thoughts.
It was a pretty sweet heel turn, more so just like his attitude about everything.
Yes. And
which
everyone's
I love
reaction
because,
around him.
Because, if you know, if you listen to this show at all, I fucking loved the Bullet Club. And I don't mean this bastardized version of it that is like that got popular over the last 5 years. I'm talking about Prince Devitt, Anderson, Gallows, the Bucks, Tamatar, like the original Incar, Bad Luck Fale, like the original group, I fucking loved, man. And that shit right there, that was the real rock and roller right there. That was mm-hmm. Prince fucking Devitt. And we haven't seen Prince Devitt in WWE not one fucking time. Not one fucking time have we seen Prince Devitt in WWE. And we saw Prince Devitt the other night, and I was like, holy shit, he's doing Prince Devitt shit right now. And if you're not sure what Prince Devitt shit is, that shit that he did that was like where you're like, oh my god, he's not acting like Finn Balor. Yeah, that was Prince Devitt shit. Or so if you want to go a step further with it, that was Fergal Devitt shit. That was amazing. I loved it. Like that, like he went to that whole cool, like, like the way he carries himself is completely different
yep.
as Prince Devitt. And we got Prince Devitt, and I'm excited. It puts this whole chase for the title thing in a weird spot now.
Well, this is what I love about it, Mike, because I don't know where the hell we're
going. Yeah,
what,
well, I'm not saying weird's a bad thing.
No, this is great because, you know, at first when you know, out of nowhere, boom, kicked to Johnny Gargano's head, I thought, holy shit, he's an Undisputed Era. But I don't think that now.
No, I don't think he is.
Because after you see the rest of it play out, he went after Gargano, he didn't go after Ciampa. Not that he wouldn't have, but he didn't. He did let them sick him. And then he continued after Gargano. And when they threw up the Undisputed Era sign, they were waiting for a reciprocation, and it did not happen. We did get the finger guns. Did you see that make the air?
Yes, I did see the finger guns. Oh, yeah, man, it was Prince Devitt. It was Prince Devitt, so I'm pretty excited.
I'm curious. There's so many places they could go with this, and here's the best part of this, Mike. It's NXT, so I know it's going to work. They're going to do something super flipping cool with this. And we sit here and sometimes say, yeah, well, it happened on Raw. It looks cool, but we'll have to see where it goes. And a lot of times it doesn't work out as great as we'd like it to. But I have a feeling they're going to do well with this, man. I really do.
I do, too.
It's exciting. It was the coolest moment in pro wrestling on TV. Regular TV in a damn long time, I will say that. You got anything else you want to say to these fine people, Mike?
You gotta kill one, you gotta fuck one, you gotta marry one, right? Talent edition, right? We're not basing this on looks. This isn't a looks thing, right? You're fucking talent, okay?
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay? And you complain that it's never women, right? So, you gotta kill one, you gotta fuck one, you gotta marry one. Britt Baker. Rio. Nyla Rose. Go.
Oh my god.
Talent. It's a talent.
Really?
Yeah.
Talent?
And you're killing, fucking, or marrying the talent this person has. Do you just kill all three? Can you just kill two of them and fuck Britt Baker? No, you can't. No. Because you certainly don't want to be tied down to any of this shit for life, but...
I mean, I guess if we're going with talent, even though it's not my thing, I'll go with Rio for the Mary. And then it's a toss-up with Britt and Nyla, but I'm going to let superficial things sneak in, and I'm gonna F Britt Baker and kill Nyla.
Alright, that works for me.
I got nothing else, guys. I say it every week. It's been real, it's been fun. We will catch you next time.
You not gonna do your tagline?
New episodes of Drive-By drop every Saturday on iTunes, Spotify, and the iHeartRadio app. Subscribe and make sure you never miss a single one. And keep the conversation going on Facebook at Drive-By Pod. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. This has been a presentation of the Near Fall Network.